Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podcasting on a Budget, which is an important topic. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce everyone. My name is Jared Axelrod. I do two podcasts. One is The Voice of Free Planet X, which is now daily, and Aliens You Will Meet, which is a weekly podcast about aliens you will meet. It's a pretty descriptive title.
My name's M.A. I appear on two podcasts. One is Better Late Than Never, which is basically my story as what used to be a geeky single mom, and now it's just geeky mom. And my other
one... Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. Yes, moving from one to the other, and my fiancé is bringing me coffee very soon.
What is the name of it again?
Better Late Than Never. www.blatn.net.
Eight. The number eight.
Yeah, eight. Yes, the number eight.
T-N.
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 Dot net. And there's my bell. Ding, ding. And I also appear on Fanboy Hell, which is discussion of everything from movies to anime to Doctor Who. And you can find that at fanboyhell.com.
Because Doctor Who is a medium unto itself.
Yes.
Might as well be.
Exactly.
Hi, I'm Martha Holloway. I participate in several podcasts with my husband, Paul Fisher, who is responsible for the new media track. We have the Balticon podcast, which we should be, barring any problems with the audio, we should be publishing this on the net at some point this coming year, so that you can revisit all the glorious moments of it, and the ADD cast, which is all things that interest Paul in his attention deficit disorder life. And we also have a audio production studio called Dancing Cat Studios, and that's at balticonpodcast.org, addcast.net, and dancingcatstudios.com.
A variety of styles here, which is great. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I suggested this panel to Paul, one of the reasons I suggested this panel to Paul is because in all of these podcast 101s and how to do podcasting, podcast blah blah blah, in those setups, you hear a lot of people talking about, and all you need to do is just get a nice $2,000 mixer and get your $4,000 microphone and set that up and you are set. And that's really not what you need. I don't think that's necessary for to do a good quality element. Tim Morris might disagree with me because he's always pimping this $1,000 podcaster's kit. That's everything you need for over $1,000. And I don't really think that's necessary, especially if you're just talking yourself. If you're just doing it by yourself into a microphone, you don't need a mixer and gear and all that. You just need microphones and stuff like that. So we're going to talk about the various things we use that are not expensive, that are, because I'm poor.
Me too.
and how we get that out and do that. The main microphone I, in fact, use ever since my expensive microphone broke is this little guy.
Oh, it's a squid.
It's a giant squid mic.
I want one of those.
And you should get one.
Yes.
These mics are amazing. This one was, I think, $25, and that's because I got an extra long cord.
I'd just like to point out that giant squid has nothing to do with the shape or the or how it behaves. That's just
right.
The brand. It's just the brand name of that.
It's not even
microphone.
Giant. It's irony. It's like Red Dwarf, I guess. Okay. And these are all handmade for podcasting. This is labor of love industry, and they're the best mics I've ever had the joy of working with. And this includes that $1,000 podcasting kit I mentioned earlier, and this includes other sort of expensive microphones that just don't have the kind of versatility that this sort of mic has. And they have lots of different styles. They even have, this is a mono mic, they have stereo mics, and I was just talking to Jim Van Berth, who does The Vintage Gamer, and he uses a stereo mic for interviews. He has one on him and one on the other person. So
And those stereo mics, they record two channels, left and right channel. And when you bring the mix back in, you can bring it back into a single track if you want. And it joins the two back together. so that you don't necessarily have Jared talking in one ear and the other guy talking in the other ear, that you get the audio out of both ears. Hello.
Chirpy. Where did you get that?
This is on giantsquid.com.
I'm not sure. You should Google giant squid
microphones.
Giant squid microphones. Don't just Google giant squids. Yeah. It won't be of use.
But they're very friendly. They're very quick. They make them all by hand, but that doesn't mean it takes a long time. And it's top notch. One of the things you're going to need, though, with this is because it's just a microphone, is it's got a little plug there. So it's got to go into something. And what I like to use is this, which is not even state of the art anymore. This is an iRiver from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. These are solid little performers. They're good. You can get quite a lot of audio in a single recording, and the battery life is excellent.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to find these. It's variable because they don't make them anymore, and you can't use a new iRiver because it doesn't have that wonderful little mic out port that you need for your giant squid mic. But I found this on Amazon as a refurbished electronic, so every now and then they're up there.
You can find them on eBay.
eBay is pretty
mm-hmm.
good.
Yes.
This particular one, which works great, is, what's the number? Model IFP890.
Yeah, it's the 700 series and the 800 series are the ones that you want to look for if you want to use them for podcast recording.
And I use this when I'm on the go, when I'm interviewing people on the street, and even when I'm in my house, because it just sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
There's also Olympus does audio digital recorders you can plug into USB that I think, I'm not sure, that they also have a mic output option on them as well.
That's good too. So this whole package, which covers all your needs if you're one or even two or three people talking, is $60 total. And I've gotten my money's worth out of this, clearly, especially since the podcast daily, so I use it every single day. So that's, I would actually say, a lot of people say you need a mixer, you need this and that. I would say you don't even need that. If you want a good quality audio, this is all you need. If you want less than good quality audio, because here's the thing. Your content is the most important.
Yeah.
No matter how expensive your gear gets, if you have nothing to say, no one's going to listen to you. You can have substandard audio, or even standard audio. You don't want substandard. Standard audio, and people will listen to you and come back if your content is good. If you have above standard audio and your content sucks, it's not going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an importance, and there should be, on microphones and equipment. But there's only so much that you need, and that people aren't going to... No one's going to stop listening to you because it doesn't sound as clear as people who do $1,000 microphones.
Mm-hmm. So the next step up from that could be to get one of these recording devices. The gentleman who's just taking pictures, as I recall, has an Eterol that he's recording this panel for us on.
It's a sexy little thing.
Yeah. this is the original of the H series for the Zooms. These are made by Samson. This is a Zoom... H4. I like the H4 for my purposes because it's flexible. It has the mic input so that you can put a standard microphone on it. It does have a built-in set of mics, though, that you can do stereo recording on. This is an X pattern on the on these mics. There's also something called a Y pattern, so you can have your mics pointing this way. So that you can get good stereo recording off of that. So it does have an internal microphone. This is microphone and recorder built into one. It's got a lot of flexibility to what you can do with it, a little bit more than the iRiver.
Yeah.
Which is just hit the button.
Right, which is hit the button and record. And this has a couple of effects that you can put in. For example, it has a compressor limiter built into this guy. This was on sale for about $200 on Amazon recently. The H2s are the newer ones. They have better built-in microphones. you can do 360 sound recording with the H2s. This does like 90 degree recording, and pretty much that's your positioning. The H2s have a little pair of feet that they sit on, and they can record 120, and they can record, there's a slightly different arrangement on the backside of the microphone, and you choose your pattern, your microphone pattern on it, and you can do a 360 recording, so you can have surround sound recording on something that costs, in the case of the H2s, I think they're running about $300 to $400 right now. So there's a range on these devices, like the Etoral, which I'm not going to pick up and show you because it's recording, and the Zooms, as far as that's concerned. And then these things have USB connectors to download the audio onto your desktop or your laptop or whatever computing device you have that you're going to be manipulating your digital audio in. And then the software that you use to manipulate your digital audio is another place that you can save yourself some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah. What do you use to record?
What do I use to record? I actually am one that has a mixer, but when I started out... Well, I'll
what are you doing
what,
on
but,
here?
Ah, but when I started out with a $10 USB headset.
Yep.
And actually, this is my story. I sent in, how I got started, I started sending in voicemails to Michael and Evo's Winging It. And what I would do is, rather than call their voicemail line, because I never remembered to write down the line when I was listening to the podcast, I just recorded it myself. And so I bought a $10 USB microphone, and I sent it off to Mike and said, I really hope that the audio quality is good. Now, Michael Meninge, he knows audio quality. He said, wow, that's one of the best voicemails we got all week. And I was like, okay, $10 thing. So that's what I was doing at first. And then when I started Better Late Than Never, I had a partner. And so we were recording, she's in North Carolina, I'm in Philadelphia. So we were recording and we ran into some trouble recording together. And so when I came to Balticon last year, Michael Meninge was there.
He happened to have a little tiny mixer. What was it, a two-channel mixer?
It was an Alesis Multimix 8 USB.
Eight-channel.
And he's like, I bought this just for the con. And I explained to him the problems that I was having. He says, well, what you need is this, this, and this. And so what I did is I ended up getting it used from him.
Yeah, he said, and I this doesn't quite do what I need it to do. And would you like to buy it?
And so basically I did. And so then what I've done over the past year is that I've been adding gear to this mixer, but the way I do it is that I never buy anything full price. I go on eBay, and I don't buy used because I'm afraid to buy used. You don't know what you're getting when you're there. But they have stuff for new, and what I do is I decide, I went and I figured out what I wanted to get, and the microphone that I wanted to get was the MXL990, which is a $100 microphone, which is not that much, but at that time, I was a single mom. I don't have much cash. Right. So I went and I put MXL990 into eBay, and I just kept looking. And one day, I was lucky. I found an MXL990 for $30, free shipping. Mm. Now, that was my little story. You know, you're not going to find one, although we just bought one for my fiance. We paid $60 for it. But again, at the store, it's $99. Yeah. But I have a policy with eBay. I don't bid. I don't have the patience to be sitting there fighting with somebody that's probably got a faster connection than I do. So I always go, I go buy it now. You know, I know how much I want to spend. I don't go over my budget for that. And I don't go, well, then I also have other stuff. But that's how I've picked up everything that I have. But I don't have the compressor. I don't have the other thing. And all the software I use, I don't pay for software. So, and we won't mention that I bought a Mac.
So microphone prices, they vary. You can get some relatively good microphones for not super expensive.
Mm-hmm. And you can get some acceptable microphones for $10. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still have that USB headset that I use when I'm on Skype or when I don't feel like dealing with the mixer. sometimes I find that I just need to do an intro or something, and I will just plug in the thing and I'll record it off, and it sounds almost as good. I may have to run it through a couple of filters, but
the sound that you get from a moderately good microphone will be less distracting than other things, other problems with your sound that you can eliminate very inexpensively than the improvement of sound quality that you would get with a really expensive microphone. So a really expensive microphone is not going to stop you from having plosives hit the microphone and really sound annoying in the ear. It's like having someone punch you in the ear when you pop your P's or your T's. And you're going to do that if you speak English, American English, because that's the way the language is built. Mm-hmm. We aspirate after those hard stops. And that's just the way it goes. Other languages, Spanish, classic Spanish, French, Italian, they don't necessarily aspirate after those hard stops. And it's just a different sound. And if you're learning those languages, you have to learn how not to do that in order to not sound like a stupid American. So one of the things that you can do to use a inexpensive microphone like the USB headset, or to use a moderately priced microphone to make it sound better, is to use something called a pop blocker. Mm-hmm. And those can be produced very expensively, or you can do something really inexpensive.
I don't use a pop blocker, so I'm looking at you. I have one,
and again, I got it off of eBay, and I decided I didn't want to spend more than $20 on one because I knew that T. Morris had spent $35 because he was... one of his shows, he was going off about... So I scoured eBay, and I waited. I didn't go and get it immediately. I also am very patient, and podcasting on a budget. Last year, I had part of my paycheck was for podcasting stuff, and I would put it away if there was something that I wanted. But then again, I went on eBay and I did it. But then you came with your little homemade ones. I want to learn how to make those.
Yeah. So
you
got it.
Okay. And unfortunately, I didn't bring my examples.
Cool.
So the one that you got was professionally made. It probably has a clamp so that you can put it onto a microphone stand and a gooseneck, and it has it has like a circular ring with essentially black pantyhose stretched across it, and it's nice and neat.
Yes.
And I
couldn't figure out how to put the thing together. It took me 2 days.
And it works very effectively.
Yes.
Stick it between yourself and the microphone. It has to be about, 5 to 6 inches away from the microphone to really work effectively, kind of thing, roughly speaking. But you can take very inexpensive items that you might not have them at home, but you can readily get them, and make pop blockers that are equally effective for pennies. One of the favorites is to go to some craft store and get an embroidery ring. And you don't even need the really big ones. The standard size ones are about, 6 inches across. You can get the ones that are 4 inches across, as long as it is appropriately positioned. And you get pantyhose of any color. It doesn't have to be black. And you stretch it across these embroidery hoops, and use coat hangers. Twist up those coat hangers and wrap them around. Make stands out of them so that they stand where they need to be, or so that they attach to your microphone stands. Very inexpensive to do, especially if you have old hose that you don't care about.
I hate pantyhose.
Not everybody does. A lot of guys don't.
But I have so many of those embroidery hoops down in my basement. We're going to make you one. Oh my God. There we go.
Awesome.
We're very crafty.
And it occurred to me that it doesn't necessarily have to be, the material that's used doesn't necessarily have to be pantyhose type, doesn't have to be that nylon stretch stuff. What you're looking for is something that will permit the sound to pass and will diffuse the air going towards the microphone, because it's the striking of your air, the aspiration on the microphone, that causes that poof sound. You don't hear it when you're talking, you hear it on the recording. So I thought, well, it would be great if I had one of these I could fold flat. So I started experimenting with plastic needlepoint squares and circles, like those circles that you can get at craft stores to do needlepoints, little needlepoint coasters with, or decorations for Christmas, or whatever it is. And in the case of this mic, for example, this is a side address mic, this being the side of the microphone, you have to figure out how to get your pop blocker, in that sense, to be in front of the diaphragm, which is what picks up the sound. So, for example, for this mic, and with my little Afro, this is a windscreen. These are relatively inexpensive. You can get these for like, you could, for the ones for dynamic mics, you can get like five for $5. This one, which is a larger one, and I had to make sure that I had measured the opening properly and measured the size of the microphone properly so that I knew that it would fit. This one, I think, was like $7. This is not an expensive item to have. It's a windscreen. If you're recording outside where there's any wind blowing, this is a good thing to have, because that also causes sound across the diaphragm on the microphone that you don't hear, but the microphone picks up. So if you're designing, like when I'm using my little plastic, it's easier to show than to describe. When I'm using my plastic canvases, I use a plastic canvas that wraps around this and uses the slight compressibility of the windscreen to kind of hold itself on, and I cut notches so that I have this like teardrop shape with this X shape on the other side that sticks out a little ways. And then I have a little piece that has notches that sticks on the end of that. So I get enough separation so I have a windscreen. And then this thing, because all I've done is cut little notches in this piece of plastic, I can unhook it and lay it flat and pack it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the way to do it for this. And for the top address mics, which a lot of dynamic mics, almost mm-hmm. all dynamic mics are top address, you can just make a circle that holds itself on, make sure that it's long enough to give you some distance from the microphone, because if you have that pop blocker all the way down on the microphone, and you do your recording, it really affects the sound quality. You want to have some distance back up for the pop blocker, because it does something to the timbre and pitch, and it really flattens out the sound. It doesn't sound good. So you want to make sure that you cut it so that it's high enough to have some distance, and then you do the same thing. You can like latch it together, and then you stick it on top instead of sticking it on the front. And I wish I had brought examples. I'm sorry I didn't.
This sounds really cool.
We need to have a panel where we sit down and make one.
Yes.
Totally do a workshop next time.
All right. So and those are so inexpensive. So just go buy some of this stuff and play with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have some idea of what I'm talking about, because those the plastic placemats, right, the plastic canvases for placemats are like $1.
Oh.
And you can make several. You can make like two or three pop blockers for dynamic mics out of a single single placemat. And you can get the little coaster things for like 25 cents.
All you need is just something with holes.
Right, and then because they're plastic, you measure where things are. You cut your slots, mm-hmm. and you cut your poke ups, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
slots are what they go into, and you just place things together that way mm-hmm. instead of using glue. My first ones I sewed together because I'm oriented towards sewing things, mm-hmm. and that's pop blockers. And I spent a huge amount of time on pop blockers, and I'm sorry, but it's important because it's a inexpensive way to improve your sound.
Mm-hmm.
That it's if you remove annoying things in the sound, people will continue to listen even though you don't have studio quality sound.
Mm-hmm.
So remove the things that are irritating.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I ran away with your panel.
Oh no, it was awesome.
Yeah, I know.
So now that we've kind of covered equipment very simply, the next thing, of course, is audio editing and the software you need for that. Once you have recorded your pop-free audio,
yeah.
there's probably not been a single podcasting panel here that hasn't talked about Audacity in one form, shape, or form, or another. How many people are familiar with that? Just about everyone. For those who aren't, Audacity, which is spelled AUDACITY.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And available at audacity.com.
Nope.
No.
No, it's not?
No.
I thought it was.
Source for it. It's SFF Audacity.
Hold on. It's deceptive. If you,
yeah,
if you,
apparently, because I was
you go
deceived.
To your, if you go to a web, if you go to a web, excuse me, a web browser and type in audacity.com, you will get the web page for a company that cleans buildings that says, we are not the sound editing software. If you want the sound editing software, click here. And there's a link
well,
to...
At least they were nice enough yeah. to do that.
Well, they had gotten a lot of traffic. Yeah. They gotten a lot of traffic for that. So, Google it, Audacity, and...
Or go to audacity.com and click in the...
Or go to audacity.com and click on their link.
And it's on SourceForge, I believe.
Yes, it is on SourceForge.
Yes.
Now,
it's free,
yes.
Which means you do get what you pay for in that instance. It's a little buggy. It will lose some stuff. It's not the best software possible, but it is more than adequate to do it.
Oh, yes.
Everyone I've talked to who's been podcasting started using Audacity and then moved on to something else once they could afford it.
Oh, you haven't talked to me then.
What did you start on?
GarageBand.
Well, you're lucky that way.
Yeah.
What did you use after Audacity?
I moved on to GarageBand as well.
That's what I did.
Because I had a Mac computer that had it on it.
Right. The Macintosh is when you purchase a Macintosh from scratch, as it were, you get the operating system, but they also throw in iLife, which is a suite of software, and GarageBand is a piece of software in that. GarageBand is awesome.
Yes, it is.
In that sense, it is free. Ordinarily, it is not. If you have a Macintosh and want the latest version of GarageBand, it is a separate software package, but it is reasonably priced for what you get.
Yeah,
it's a very powerful piece of audio equipment.
I think it's about $100 per license for the current version.
For iLife.
For iLife.
For iLife was $80 when I got iLife 08.
Still 79. Okay.
It was 79. Yeah.
79. Okay.
And that's not just GarageBand.
And that's
oh no.
That's
there's
the whole suite of stuff.
iMovie and iDVD and a couple of other applications that really help you get into manipulating your media, movies, pictures, things like that.
What do you
including
think of
music.
Roxio?
Which piece of Roxio?
Well, there's, they do the audio editing. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. I haven't heard any good things.
Okay.
From it. That doesn't mean it's bad software, but no one's come to me and said, dude,
yeah.
you've got to use Roxio.
Yeah.
And I would just like...
which people have come to about even Audacity and GarageBand.
Because for the basics, I use Roxio for pop and hiss and stuff like that.
And I'd just like to point out that the whole table thumping thing, that's yet another annoying sound that's going to be on that.
Yeah.
And we can get back to table thumping at another time. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Roxio either.
Mm-mm.
I'm not familiar with that piece.
Yeah.
Audacity
users,
free.
I wish we had a PC guy.
Well, see, I used to be PC.
Yeah, me too.
I started doing my podcast on a PC, and I tried to use the suite that came with my Creative sound card.
Oh,
wow.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was very bad. And then I found out about Audacity, and I downloaded Audacity, and if I need to do something on my PC, then I definitely will do it on Audacity. And there was a time when I was doing because part of my podcast is that I bring somebody on every time to talk about some sort of media, whether it's a movie or TV or whatever. And we do that usually over Skype because everybody lives in Philadelphia. So when I was doing when I was doing on the PC, was Audacity was the way I went. I kind of took the creative stuff off my computer. Because it was bad.
Yes, sir.
Audacity on a Mac, just to warn you guys, is not a happy thing.
No, it's not.
The key to using Audacity on any system, PC or Mac, is to keep your hard drive defragmented.
Mm-hmm.
The more your drive is fragmented, the harder a time Audacity has, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
and save.
Save frequently.
A lot.
Awesome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's good to remember.
There is a portable version of Audacity that will almost see USB.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Interesting.
PortableApps.com.
Does that work well?
Maybe it's a silly question, but once you've got your audio file, what are the basic steps you do between my audio file that I tape to the standard that's ready to go out podcast-wise?
There's another piece that you need besides Audacity to produce MP3s, and that's the LAME library.
Yes.
LAME, it's like LAME, but LAME is mm-hmm. how it's pronounced. And that actually lets Audacity save to MP3 format. Mm-hmm. So make sure, and it's one of the links on the Audacity, where you download Audacity. It says, if you want the LAME library, click here.
Yeah.
So follow those links by all means.
And actually, what I do to encode to MP3 is I actually use iTunes, and I actually did this when I was on the PC as well. They have an encoding in there for MP3.
I had trouble getting the LAME library to work for me, actually, when I downloaded it. So I used iTunes as well.
Mm-hmm. iTunes is probably the best tagger out there for MP3s. Right. You can get your album art on there, which is a big deal now that everybody has a little video podcast, you know, video iPods and ones that show the album art. And it has everything that you need to put in there. You can put in show notes and lyrics and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
and that's free as well.
You wanna...
So the jump that we're kind of skipping over is the
editing.
Listening to the file and actually picking out the stuff that you don't want. But that's kind of not the focus of this particular panel. So we'll go quickly through that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and you do your editing work, and then the standard is to save in MP3 format because most people do MP3. You want to record at 44.1 kilohertz,
mm-hmm.
And you want to save, depending on whether you're using music, you're doing music or you're doing voice only. You can do voice at 64 kilobits per second, and it's acceptable, but it kind of sounds like you're talking on the telephone,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and that's one of the things that really can affect sound quality, even on an expensive mic.
Yeah.
Or 96 kbps, or if you're doing music, you might want to go as high as 128. 128 is rapidly becoming the standard even for voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just clear.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to worry about it.
Right. And MP3 is still the standard. There's enhanced podcast, which is M4A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's really only readable by through iTunes and on the iPod, so you want to be careful because you can actually eliminate a swath of your potential audience if you go with M4A.
I know there's some podcasters who do two feeds, and one is their enhanced and one is their normal.
There are advantages with M4A.
Mm-hmm.
Coverville does two feeds. One is straight MP3, and it doesn't remember where you are. I think that's actually gotten solved by current versions of MP3 players.
Yeah.
But
I haven't had that problem.
Right, the enhanced. Right, the enhanced the enhanced one lets you jump to specific chapters.
Yeah.
So you can set up a long, actually, if you do long recordings, it's up to you, but that's a different panel. If you do a long recording, you could say, well, here's chapter break one. This was my summer vacation. Here's chapter break two, what I did in the fall, and so forth. And so people can jump, I heard his that first part, and I don't have to guess where it stops because you've already set where
Yeah, there's bonuses and minuses.
Right. So.
Yes.
Have you used the Levelator from
Conversation? Oh.
Yes. Oh.
I'm glad you reminded us
yes.
of that. That is everyone should download that.
Yes.
If you're podcasting. It's called Levelator. It does not work if you've got music on the file, but if it's just speaking,
mm-hmm.
and especially if there's more than one person speaking, it only does Wave or AIFF, but those are easy to convert if you have anything that we said that you can convert to.
Right.
Can you spell it?
Levellator,
And like the Terminator, you,
it's
only
part
the
of
levels.
Right. And part of that editing process is like the last thing you do. You run Levelator on it.
Mm-hmm.
Save your uncompressed format, AIFF.
I actually use Levelator first before I even edit. I run it through.
You do it. Well, you do it before you save to MP3 because
I always run the
uncompressed file.
Yeah, I always run my media reviews through Levelator before I mix it in with the rest of the show, and then I put the rest of the show together, and then I run it through Levelator again, because when I haven't, I get feedback saying, you really should use Levelator, it's a great program.
And it's free, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, even if you have a really expensive microphone, if you have different audios, it's not gonna...
Right, but well,
but if you have the
if you Levelator. Have, well, if you have multiple voices.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm.
so you might
even
have
good for single voices.
Really softly. And they're overwhelmed by T. Morris sitting on the other side of the table.
Yeah.
And we rag on T, but you know, T projects.
Mm-hmm. And even if you have one voice and you have different segments to your podcast, what you might like, I have an intro and then I do a promo and then I do my media review and then I have a promo and then I do another section. When I put it all together, Levelator kind of makes sure that the one promo that they turn way up doesn't blast people's ears out, even though that has happened sometime.
Yeah, and even with one voice just by itself, I mean, you're not going to talk in a perfect even keel unless you're a voice professional and they have to concentrate to do that. So even if just you're talking, it helps you sound clearer. Because maybe you'll be turning away from the mic and then come back or seeing something over there, and it's not quite picking up what you need. And so that's why Levelator is just a great tool.
Right. And the reason not to use it with music is that music has a wider variation between silent moments and louder moments. So you destroy that variation. It impacts the sound of the music a lot more. So.
And it can be found at levelator.com?
I'm not sure.
It's the Conversations Network.
There you go.
But if you just search for Levelator, it's
yeah.
the...
Yeah, Google is your friend.
Google is your friend.
So, got any other questions about shortcuts? One shortcut that I've heard that I haven't used, so I don't know if this is good, but especially if you've got, say, ambient noise, which we seem to have right now, I've heard of some podcasters just taking a cardboard box and just putting it right on the desk there. And some of even go as far as to put egg crate foam on the inside of that and make a mini sound studio.
Hmm.
And then just put that on the desk. I know Michael Stackpole does that.
Right.
Really?
So you have a laundry basket stuffed with a comforter, which is my version of egg crate foam.
Right.
Everybody's
exactly.
got blankets at home.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have your box with your egg crate foam and you put your microphone. And this is the front address part of the side address. This is the front of the microphone for this. You would stick your microphone in that box, and that isolates your microphone from sound waves coming into the microphone. And since our sound is coming from over there, I would want to actually sit facing that direction, because that would further isolate that sound from hitting the part of the microphone that's actually going to pick up the sound. So there are lots of tricks for how to reduce noise in your environment.
And this picks up a lot.
Yeah, this is a condenser mic. If you have a noisy environment, you probably don't want to go with a condenser mic. It picks up everything. And this is the MXL990 that MA was talking about, mm-hmm. if you want to come up and have a look at it. If you do work in a noisy environment, you probably want to go with a dynamic mic. And there are lots of inexpensive dynamic mics that have high quality.
Yeah, I have one that I picked up for less than $20.
Right.
So.
The Shure SM58 is like the standard. You can beat it on the on the table. It's the one that is commonly used a lot of times used by a lot of bands, because they're up there on stage trying to perform, and they sometimes swing that mic around like Mick Jagger, thump, thump, thump on the ground. Anyway, they're really solid microphones, and they're not super expensive for as far as dynamic mics go. Shure does make some pretty good mics. That's Shure.
should we also talk about, if you want to put sound effects in your podcast for whatever reason, now GarageBand has a very nice little library of sound effects, but of course I think everybody else has had them, but there's also something called the Free Sound Project, and they have a lot of interesting sounds. So if you want to put something a little bit different in your podcast, you want to have like a door breaking or shutting or opening or whatever, they have all those different sounds on there. And I think they're Creative Commons.
Yeah, Creative Commons license attribution required.
Is good for that. Oh, really?
Sounds, mm-hmm. SoundSnap also. The we're not even going to attempt to give you the URL for the Free Sound Project. Google it, for God's sakes, because the URL is nothing
insane.
nothing like Free Sound
Doesn't
Project.
Doesn't have any of those letters in it.
Right, and it is a community, so. You are using sounds. If you can produce sounds, like I used an extremely beautiful piece of recording of a wood in Germany that had a woodpecker and a couple of Tweety birds in it to represent a walk in a southern Mississippi forest.
I remember
that. It's awesome. It ran. It's beautiful. I just sit there and loop that thing for a couple of hours. But that was a piece that ran, I think, about 3 minutes that someone bothered to record that environment. And I needed representation of a wood. By the same token, I needed the representation of scissors snapping shut and the sound of a sewing machine. They didn't have it. So I happened to have a sewing machine and recording gear and scissors, and so I produced the sounds that I needed. I can add Foley artist to my resume now. I produced those sounds that I needed for my project and then published them to Free Sound Project. So it's a community, give to others. That's my recommendation.
What was that second source that you
just... SoundSnap.
SoundSnap.
And that's very similar. People put up sounds for other people to use.
Right. Attribution required. You should say where you got the sound when you do use them.
Give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. People are very happy to assist you. You can get... I know that it's particularly... desirable for a lot of people to have music on their podcasts. You can get PodSafe music. You can get permission from musicians to use their music for your podcast, but make sure you get permission. Mm-hmm. PodSafe music is put up on, and again, Google PodSafe music is put up on the internet with the understanding that it can be listened to under certain Creative Commons licensing. So make sure you're obeying those Creative Commons licenses and give credit where credit is due. And that's, you don't have to pay royalties for that. On the other hand, if you don't want to struggle to find a particular set of pieces of music in a particular particular mood or genre, you can get inexpensive and very nice pieces of royalty-free music from, and I'm just drawing a blank now, wait a minute. This is T. Morris's favorite site.
That stuff does get expensive, though.
It does. Digital Juice.
Yeah, Digital Juice.
Yeah, it's an addiction.
Yeah,
every three days, I would advise
against going to Digital Juice. Yeah. Because that will add up, so yes. So don't go there.
I just went about my sister's band, so.
Okay. Right, so you can get bits and pieces. You can get, and then periodically they have sales. And they also have sound effects sales. So if you're not finding sound effects, free sound effects that you need, one of the least expensive ways to get a large library of sound effects is to get them through Digital Juice. Again, you know. Try and keep it to a minimum because this is a big hole in the water into which you can pour money.
Yes.
Just like a boat.
So any other questions? Specific concerns beyond, we're just talking generally. I don't know if anyone has a specific.
We can talk some more about sound deadening.
Okay.
Inexpensive ways to do sound deadening. Paul and I set up our studio in our second bedroom, and I refused to let him, you know, bolt the furniture to the floor kind of thing. I said it has to still be able to function as a bedroom because we have people who come over and stay periodically, and we need to be able to use it as a bedroom. And we needed to have sound deadening in the room, and I did not want bits and pieces of egg crate stuck on the wall and goo and kind of misshapen and not quite level, because that makes me crazy. I have a slight trace of OCD. And I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the comforter that would be on the bed that would be in here. We'll add a little sewing. We'll turn it into a sound blanket, and we'll hang it on a curtain rod that runs across the wall. That gives separation out from the wall, which is important for a sound blanket. You don't want the sound blanket to be directly against the wall. And sound blankets are what they sound like. They're blankets of some kind. So generally, they're fabric. You can use a blanket, or you can use, like I did with the comforter. And the sound, a lot of the sound will deaden when it hits the blanket, but some will get through. And as it comes back off the wall, it will deaden more as it hits the backside of the blanket. That's why you have to have the separation. So we did that, and it didn't look stupid. I mean, it didn't make the room look less like a bedroom.
I actually record in the bedroom because I have a nice four-poster bed with curtains on it. So that works great. It's the same exact thing.
Another inexpensive thing is if you don't want to do the whole if you don't have a whole room to dedicate. Scott Sigler still records in his walk-in closet. He lives in San Francisco. We like to tease him a lot about that. And it's really walk-in closets, leave the clothes in there. Isolate yourself put yourself in an environment that's going to absorb sound. The clothes in the closet, they absorb sound really well. Also, take your system out of the environment. The system fans for your PCs, even for the laptops, your microphone can pick that up, particularly if you get a sensitive condenser mic. So what you can do is you can extend away from where the system is by getting USB extension cables for keyboard, mouse. You can get video cable extenders if you need to have the video near you. You can put the system in the closet if you have the small room. If you don't have the small room, you can put yourself in the closet and leave the system outside the closet. Just think about the things that you bring with you. Turn your cell phones off, that sort of thing. Right?
And if you have a smartphone, beware, there will be, depending on your system, you will get interference, that chicka, 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 chicka stuff. I'll never forget the first week I had my iPhone and I kept it on the table with me, and it started, I ended up throwing the thing onto the bed because I record in the bedroom as well.
I have to say, it's not just an iPhone, basically any cell phone, if you've got a computer that's on the same desk or a radio, if you have a regular radio on the table, any cell phone, you'll get feedback from it.
Yeah.
Right.
I just had iPod speakers that would get feedback from my friend's cell phone when he would come in.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah.
So, yes.
Turn off the phones.
Yes. So, remove the
battery out.
Take the electronic devices out of that environment to avoid things that receive signal out of your environment, because they will impact on your sound equipment.
Which, to bring it full circle, is why one of these is great. Because you can take it into the closet, out of the way of the computers, the cell phones, anything. And that's about it. That's our time.
If there's any more questions,
we'll take them. But
yes.
Do you know subject for next time? I know there's no reference to anybody soliciting for payment, but how about asking for donations? I mean, it is time. and cost.
There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people have tip jars and things like mm-hmm. that using PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put a buck in the thing, give me a beer, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's successful mm-hmm. to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
I know Escape Pod runs on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My situation doesn't allow me to accept donations. Just because of my my work situation, I can't accept mm-hmm. donations. It's just too dangerous for me. So.
And we don't receive enough donations to pay for all the equipment that we buy. I'm here, and I will clearly state, it's not false pretenses, because clearly I've done a lot of little things that are cheap ways to get around some of the problems that you have with sound recording, but I'll tell you the truth. My husband and I, we buy our toys. We do have toys.
Mm-hmm. And some podcasts do have sponsorships where they do commercials. So there is possibilities for that.
Yeah.
And it can work, and it does work for many podcasters.
Yeah.
So you just got it.
Right. But if you're looking to get rich doing it, there aren't that many people who've succeeded in making it pay.
I don't know anyone
well
who does it full time.
No.
Adam Curry.
Adam. Whatever. But you know, that's what, three? Do we have any more? And there's.
Oh yeah, there was a husband and wife podcast.
But you can make enough in donations or in sponsorship to cover your hosting expenses,
mm-hmm.
To pay partially for some of your gear. That's certainly within great reach, and so that's right there.
And keep track of your expenses. Keep track of how much you receive in donations, because you need to declare it on your taxes. And you can declare donations equal to your expenses for a hobby. And therefore you get a wash instead of having to pay taxes on those donations. Just a word of advice.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.